Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line presented by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And now our next guest, Mr. John Parrotto, has been covering Pirates baseball from an airplane, apparently. But he's been covering Pirates baseball for a very long time. He's a columnist for Pittsburgh Baseball Now. And he is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Johnny, are you in a wind tunnel or an airplane right now? What is happening?
Hang on 1 second. I have to fasten my seatbelt. We're getting ready to take off. No, I'm in my car, actually. I appreciate you being flexible. I have to be somewhere for an interview at 1 o'clock, so...
No problem. We're nothing if not
today.
We're nothing if not flexible around here, city limits and I. Johnny, I wrote this morning that Bob Nutting's greatest shame should be watching the Milwaukee Brewers, who play in a market smaller than Pittsburgh. They spend more, they win way more, and last night each of these teams had a clinching. The Brewers clinched the division for the third time in 4 years and fourth time in 7 years, and the Pirates clinched a non-winning season with their 81st loss, which will soon become a losing season, their sixth in a row and 21st in 25 since the turn of the millennium. Man, watching those Brewers, if you're a Pirate fan, has to just be infuriating. And if you're Bob Nutting, is he capable of shame? I don't know. If I was watching the Brewers, I would be. How about you?
We'll never know because he never reveals himself publicly what he's thinking, but I would think I would be embarrassed. I mean, you look at Milwaukee, they're a smaller market than Pittsburgh. There's only two smaller markets in the major leagues than Pittsburgh, Cincinnati and Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the smallest. Like you said, their fourth division title in 7 years. And furthermore, the sixth time they'll be going to the postseason in the last 7 years. And the other year they didn't make the postseason, they missed by one game. So, I mean, they were one win away from going seven straight years to the postseason. And, you know, if the Brewers can win, and I know that I'm not expecting the Pirates to go to the playoffs 7 years in a row, but certainly you could be good enough to make the playoffs now and again. And it's really, really disheartening for a Pirates fan or for certainly to see a team in your own division in a smaller market continue to beat the odds and keep getting back to the postseason year after year after year.
And there's one decision, there's actually a couple, but one really big one that stands out. And that is back in 2019, it was time to choose a GM. And Bob Nutting, with a hockey guy who had suddenly come over here, Travis Williams, chose Ben Cherington over Matt Arnold, who was the Brewers' assistant GM at the time. And all these years later, Charrington, who inherited a 69-win team, is going to win in the mid-70s again if he's lucky. And Matt Arnold is making a series of really brilliant moves to keep the Brewers winning and winning and winning. I went back and looked at the time. I know Dayon said that the Pirates should choose Matt Arnold. What were you saying at the time, and how bad does that decision look now?
You know, I thought, not to give me a wishy-washy answer here, but I really thought at the time the Pirates would be good going either way, but it's turned out, I mean, and you look back now, and I probably should have realized this at the time, and I have a mea culpa here and say I didn't. Other than the 2013 World Series championship team, Ben Charrington's teams have never really won. His GM all those years in Boston, and certainly now 5 years in Pittsburgh, they've lost a ton of games. And I mean, you know, in retrospect, Matt Arnold would have been the guy to select. But at the time, you know, I understand where Bob Nutting and Travis Williams probably got a little blinded by the fact here's a guy that put together a World Series winning team. If he, you know, and I think that that's probably what swung it in Charrington's favor. And I'll be honest, I'm quite disappointed. I thought that they would be further along back when he took over in November of 2019. Now, I realized that he had a big rebuilding project on his hands, but still, 5 years is a long time, and they should be better than what they are.
There was another symbolic move this past offseason. Both clubs needed a first baseman. The Pirates went the cheap route, signing Rowdy Tellez for $3.2 million. Milwaukee, a month later, brought in free agent Reese Hoskins and signed him to a two-year $34 million deal with an opt-out after this season. Tellez has 13 homers. Hoskins has 25. Tellez has 55 RBIs. Hoskins has 74. But what I think is even more significant is Milwaukee was kind of reeling after an offseason of major losses. And Hoskins was red hot out of the gates. By May 11th, he had 9 homers. Rowdy was batting 186 with 1 home run. Sometimes you get what you pay for, Johnny, right?
Yeah, you do get what you pay for. And, you know, it's funny to take that one, a little bit deeper, Joe. When the Brewers were in Pittsburgh in April, I believe it was mid to late April. I can't remember exactly when they were there, but I know it was in April. I talked to Pat Murphy, the manager, for some of my national stories I do for other outlets. And I talked to Kristen Yelich, and both said the psychological benefit of the Brewers after trading Corbin Burnes, Craig Counsell walking away as manager, for a guy of that caliber to want to come to Milwaukee and play for the Brewers after they'd had a rough winter was such a psychological boost for that team. Like, hey, we're still seriously trying to win, even though we traded some guys and we lost our manager. And I don't think adding Rowdy Tellez had that same kind of psychological boost to the Pirates. But again, you know, I know Mark Antanasio better, the Brewers owner, than I know Bob Nutting, which is sad to say and tells you how bad Nutting is at relations with the media here in Pittsburgh. Mark Antanasio wants to win. And I mean, he makes it clear, and they do everything they can. And you know, they will spend some money, not to the level of the big market teams, but they will try to win, and winning is important to him, and he admits that winning is important, and he backs it up.
John Pirano on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. All right, Johnny, where are we going from here? Starting next season, the first thing is Brian Reynolds at first base. Does that make sense to you?
I think it's a definite possibility. I don't think you have a guy taking ground balls every day at first base if you're not thinking of at least moving him there. And, you know, and for Shelton to kind of poo-poo it and act like it's no big deal, well, when your highest paid player is taking, working out a different position, it's a big deal. And I think certainly there's a chance Reynolds could play at first. You know, his defense has slipped, and I know maybe not so much by his advanced metrics, but I do think there are balls that he isn't able to get to any more than he used to be able to. So it makes a lot of sense. They don't have a first baseman even remotely close to the big leagues in their farm system. You know, they've proven time and time again that they can't fill the first base job from outside. They really haven't had a legitimate big league first baseman. I guess you could call Rowdy Tellez that, but to me, he's more of a complimentary player since they traded Josh Bell after the 2020 season. So, yeah, I think if you start to put two and two together, it's certainly looking like there's at least a possibility that Reynolds would be the first baseman next year.
So I'm going to assume Reynolds at first, Gonzalez at second, Kiner Falefa at short, Key Brian Hayes, who will still be on a back strengthening program at that point, at third, O'Neill Cruz in center. You have like 19 catchers. That'll be interesting. So does one of the catchers move to the outfield? Or how does left and right field play out if we go along with this scenario?
Well, the catcher that is the most athletic and would be the easiest to move to the outfield or first base, if indeed Reynolds does stay in the outfield, is Andy Rodriguez. But in my estimation, he's your best catcher. You know, they tried Henry Davis in the outfield, and that was an unmitigated disaster last year. You know, Joey Bart doesn't seem athletic enough to me to put him in the outfield unless you tried to maybe put him in right field at PNC Park where you don't have a whole lot of ground to cover. And it's not a knock on Joey Bart because he's been one of the few bright spots this year for the Pirates. But really, Andy Rodriguez, they're kind of in a quandary. They have all these catchers, but the guy they want the most behind the plate is the only one with any flexibility.
Lastly, Johnny, do you think Skeens should win National League Rookie of the Year?
I do, you know, and I've been studying up on that the last few days, and I think, you know, he's – I know Jackson Merrill was a prohibitive favorite a few weeks ago by the odds makers. That gap's closed, and I just think he's had a phenomenal year. And, I know that, you know, maybe the last few months or the last month it's kind of gotten lost because people have gotten used to him and the novelty's worn off. But you look at the season he's had, Joe, and considering he didn't even get called up May 11th, I mean, it's been a terrific season. And if I had an NL Rookie of the Year vote, and I'm not being a homer when I say this, but I do think Paul Skeens deserves that award.
Johnny, you're a wonderful man. Enjoy the rest of your flight.
I will. That'll be up to the pilot, of course, but I'll do my best.
Bye, Johnny.
See you, buddy.
We'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
What was happening there? How does a car? I mean,
hope the bird land safely for Johnny.
Did he have a window open there in the car?
I guess
that was incredible.
Maybe he's driving around in a convertible, driving around Beaver Falls.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was just a few minutes ago that the one and only Chris Hoke, Dr. Hokenstein, came in here and delivered the goods as he always does, right? He always delivers. And this week I had to ask him because it became a big topic this week was his comment after the game the other day that back in training camp, Broderick Jones looked uninterested. And this led to an impassioned response from Hokey. And I wanted to play it back for you so you could hear it.
It's interesting. You know, I mean, I played this game a long time, Starkey. I played in the NFL for 11 years. You see a lot of guys come and go. You see a lot of guys who are extremely talented, and they come to camp after having a pretty good season the year before, and they think they've arrived, and they think that I'm good, right? And sometimes you get complacent. And let's just take his own words. I mean, I'm saying something that is completely in line with his evaluation of his play after the Bills game. Mike Prezuta asked him a question in the locker room on the south side like a day or two after the game.
Yeah.
Right? He asked him, is it your elbow? Is your elbow impacting how you play? What did Broderick Jones say? It's not the brace, his elbow brace, right? It's just me being able to lock into football. Hello. What lock into? What does that mean? I need to be more focused. If you're not focused, you're not interested in what's going on. If you're interested, you're focused. If you're focused, you're locked in. So he said it. He said he's not interested right now. He's got to be better and be locked in. He needs to improve his game and grow. And so the reality is, I'm just saying, you and people say, how do you criticize? And I wasn't criticizing. This guy is a super talented player. The Steelers wouldn't have moved up in the draft to pick him if he wasn't talented. He's a young guy that's growing, and he's maturing. I mean, listen, his comments after the game showed a big-time maturity of what happened with the penalties. So I really appreciated that. I thought that was great. But people say, oh, Hokey, how can you criticize him for, you know, say he's interested? You can criticize his play. Come on, guys. I mean, I played this game a long time. I've been around a lot of players. And the reality is, you could tell a player who's out there just going through the motions, who's out there just kind of just getting through practice and thinking, I've arrived. I've been around a lot of those players, right? So don't try to tell me, oh, how can you? I've been around this game for a long time. I've played 20-plus seasons, 11 in the NFL. So I've seen guys come and go. So that stuff is silly. The reality is, though, is that you have to continue to work on your game. Even Max Starks and Wolf, after the game, they kind of were talking and discussing about he needs to understand, it's not a direct quote, but the message, he needs to understand that he needs to continually be working on his game.
Yeah.
That says his game's not where he needs to be. You can't just look and say, I played well last year, and I was the catalyst for this turnaround in my offensive line, and everybody's talking about how great I am. You kind of start licking yourself. That's Coach Tomlin's words, right phrase. You start licking yourself thinking you're great. And maybe that impacts your preparation, your training in the offseason, and your mentality when you come into training camp, and you're just, hey, I'm good. Every year is a different year. Every year you got to come in with a purpose. Every practice come with a purpose. And listen, I've heard it all. I read stuff on Twitter and all that. People say, well, Hokey, you know, how can Hokey criticize him? I saw him working after practice. Come on. You go out there practice. Some guys stand around and drink Gatorade and talk, and they might do a couple sets. Is he doing it with a purpose? Is he focused when his coach is talking to him? Is he listening to his coach? Or is he turning his head and looking at where the butterflies are? Or what a fan talking to him. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, people to criticize me for making a comment like that, I played this game a long time. How many seasons have those guys played?
Great ending. You edited that perfectly. And here's the thing. When I first texted Hokey about this the other day, saying, man, this is getting a lot of play here. Are you doubling down on it, or what exactly did you intend? What did that quote mean? He simply said, that was my observation. That doesn't mean it's a fact, but it's what I observed. And when somebody's there, when a former player is there observing something, to me at least, I have to respect that. I have to respect it. But even Hokie says, hey, it might not be true, but in his own words, after that preseason game, he said, I have to be more locked in. So maybe it's the word, you know, interested, look disinterested. All right, would it be better if you sort of euphemistically said he wasn't locked in enough in training camp? Sometimes it's the actual word choice that causes a big reaction among people. But man, this kind of reminds me of the Kevin Dotson situation here when the Steelers seemed to want it out there that they weren't all that pleased with this guy. Here, it's obvious, right? I mean, they traded up to get him at number 14 last year in the draft, and a season and two games later, after playing for a lot of his rookie year, he's the backup swing tackle. And I'm not sure it's all about injury. I mean, if he's injured, he shouldn't be out there, right? If he's literally injured and that is hampering him to the point of ineffectiveness, then Mike Tomlin and Pat Meyer were really derelict of duty, throwing him onto the field in a hostile environment in what we knew was going to be a very low-scoring game with the Steelers stuck on their one-yard line. I mean, it was a crazy move anyway. If he's too hurt to play, then he shouldn't be dressing on game day. So I'm going to assume that he's good enough to play. And in that case, they're clearly not happy with something. Tomlin praised virtually every one of his young offensive linemen the other day for being locked in early in the season here, except for one guy. So something is clearly amiss. I think a lot of fans always want things to be harmonious and always accuse the media of stirring up the you-know-what. Well, now this is a former player who's now in the media who's simply giving you an educated observation. Combine that with the fact that something clearly they're not totally pleased with Broderick Jones, right? And it seemed to have started not long into camp. I don't think that's a crazy observation. I don't even think it's an opinion. I think it's fact. He's the backup swing tackle. You know, I hear people say the Steelers definitely don't want to have Broderick Jones on the bench. What? Who else? He's on the bench. Who else has him there other than the Steelers? It's exactly where they want him right now. Maybe long term they go and sign Dan Moore. I don't know. This whole Dan Moore thing is getting a little overblown this season as well. He wasn't good last season. He gave up something like 56 pressures. So let's see how this year goes when he's facing, you know, heightened competition in terms of pass rushers and things like that. That may start this weekend. Let's see how Dan Moore gets through this game. I'm very open to Dan Moore, you know, performing well and then saying, hey, now it's tough to make a change. I'm not sure we're there yet. Through two games, he's been fine. Everybody but Broderick Jones has been fine on the offensive line. I think some of that has to do with them putting him in a very, very difficult position by toggling him back and forth. They didn't do that to Fatanu. Put him out of position and let him go. I think this idea of, well, Broderick can play both positions, you know, that's really works to his favor. And that's what he does best and better than anybody. Oh, that's nice. He's the backup swing tackle is what he is. A guy that you drafted up to get at number 14 in the whole draft. And played. And he seemed to play pretty well. A lot of people traced the improvement in the run game last season to inserting Broderick Jones as a starter. What happened? Something. Other than his injury, I think. And so does Chris Hoke. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. Jones is still very young. He is. But something is amiss here. And we'll see how the whole Dan Moore thing plays out this season. 412-928-9370. But that was great stuff, I thought, by Hokie. He also talked about the Chargers and how they come here with a very, very similar mindset. I like these kinds of games. This is an early 2000 Steelers-Ravens type matchup. It's going to be violent. It's going to be physical. It's going to be which team can exert its will in this game physically. I love that. The Chargers, if Justin Herbert is even relatively healthy, have a pronounced advantage at the most important position with Easton Stick warming up in the bullpen. I can't say that name enough, Limits. Can you?
No, I like hearing you say the stick figure, Easton Stick.
Yeah. I mean, you can't lose to a stick figure. I think the line would go from 1.5 to about 4 at least. What did you make of Hokie's soliloquy there?
I thought it was blunt. I thought it was pretty honest and just kind of real from what he's seeing. Like, look, Chris has played the defensive line for a long time. Like, he knows what it's like being in the trenches and the emotions that go into that. So did I think it was kind of bold and brash? Yes, but that's the way Chris is seeing it. And, I mean, he played in the NFL for, he said, 11 years. The amount of time, how long he's played football, and ever since he's been out of the game, he's been analyzing the game. I mean, I don't have many reasons to doubt Chris. I really don't have any reasons to doubt Chris and what he sees, especially because a lot of it is firsthand accounts. Now, if he was talking to Broderick Jones, maybe I'd be able to completely pound the table for it. But it's definitely an interesting observation.
I thought it was. And I think it made for some really good radio. He's just really good. But back to the matchup. You're going to see Greg Roman come in here. Former Ravens coordinator with a former Raven at center and former Ravens at running back. J.K. Dobbins, by the way. Let me look at this guy's career numbers. I forgot to look this up, but I was thinking about it when Hokie was talking. It always seemed, even in Baltimore, that he would have a minimal number of carries but break off gigantic runs. I'll be surprised if I don't find here that his yards per carry in his career isn't right around 5. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, he was really good in Baltimore, but he got hurt twice.
6.2?
Yeah. He had 2 season-ending injuries in Baltimore, which is what spurred his career away from there.
Yeah. I mean, his first year in Baltimore, he had only 134 carries, but piled up 805 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was great.
And he's a home run hitter. 72-yard touchdown that year. And now, finally, you're right, 2 season-ending injuries. It looks like he might be back. He's only averaging, Limits, he's averaging 9.9 yards a carry so far this season. 27 carries for 266 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 61-yarder. So we could be looking at a star here if he can remain healthy. And as I mentioned earlier, it's time for the Steelers to make a stand with their run defense again. It's been too long. As good a defense as they've played a lot in recent years, especially early in seasons, and I get it, T.J. Watt's been hurt. They've had, last year, they were plucking guys, you know, flight instructors off of couches to come here and play inside linebacker by the end of the season. But their run defense simply hasn't been good enough. And that always feels like a barometer for great Steeler defense. Just not good enough. The Patriots walked in here with Bailey Zappe at quarterback and ran at Acrisure Stadium for 150 yards last season. It's unacceptable stuff. And now that they've shored up the inside linebacker position, those guys are healthy. The defense is healthy at the moment. What I want to see more than anything else Sunday is a dominant Steelers run defense, just like the old days. I want to see them beat the hell out of J.K. Dobbins and stifle this Charger rushing attack. I'm not convinced it'll happen, though. I'm not. Are you?
No, I'm not. I still want to see this defensive line that, again, like last year, I think they were better than the year before, but they've still gotten gashed in the run game more so than getting just thrown all over the place. And the secondary's, I think, been the better unit than the defensive line over the last 2 years or so, at least last year.
I'm curious to see Patrick Queen sort of in amongst the trees against a physical run team, how he sorts it out up there and makes plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you got to have defensive linemen who keep blockers off of you. I get that. But this is going to be a game where I'm curious to see the Queen impact.
Well,
he's gotten horrible grades so far. I'm not sure that he's played poorly. I'm not. Just because he's not especially noticeable, sometimes that means you're not making big mistakes, too. Now, he was credited, if you want to use that word, with some missed tackles in the opener. But I also think that when you're not noticeable, it could mean that you're playing pretty good positional football and just doing your job. I honestly am not sure after two games about Patrick Queen, which it is. There was a great clip, I think, from Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot of Queen covering a wide receiver way down the field. Did you see that clip?
I did not.
And his tweet was something to the effect of how refreshing it is to see a Steeler linebacker like that tracking a receiver, whatever it was, 20, 30, 40 yards down the field.
You're talking near the end zone?
I don't know where it was on the field.
Recall the play now.
The point is, probably none of us noticed it during the game, and he's not going to get I don't know if he'll get a big grade for that from PFF or anything like that, but the point is, he did his job on that play.
Well, and him doing that also helps out the secondary. Because let's be real, last year, Patrick Peterson and Levi Wallace were not good.
No, and this particular matchup against this team, the Steelers' inability from the linebacker position to cover receivers was underscored a few years back when Keenan Allen had 800 catches in a game, and you had people like Bob Spillane split out trying to cover him. Just horrible coaching, number one, but horrible matchups, horrible coverage. And now maybe, you know, you don't want to see that often, but a guy like Patrick Queen can track a receiver.
Yeah, remember when Mark Barron was trying to do that and Joe Schobert and John Bostic? So, how well that went?
Mark Barron, I forgot about him.
Yeah, old Alabama legend. He was supposed to be Barron. A safety, then he was a linebacker and move him around a little bit, play in the box.
Barron Von Trapp, and then the great Joe Schobert. This has been a position they've been chasing, and I think this is the week that if you don't notice Patrick Queen, I think there will be a problem. Because I think they're going to line up and try to run right at him and right at them. And you'll see plenty of a Landon Roberts, the tooth chipper. He's going to be chipper for this game, I would imagine. You agree?
Yeah, they're going to run right past Joe Alt, their star tackle that they just drafted. Like, he's really good.
What do you think of the first two versions of the Landon Roberts show? I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
I have as well. Jeff did a really good job, and I thought Donnie did a good job for the first Landon Roberts show.
Why don't we get good clips from the Landon Roberts show and play them? I just thought of that. We can do that next week.
That's a good idea.
I'm not blaming you for anything. The idea just struck me. And now he's gone silent.
Well, I'm going to see if there actually is in here right now, easy for me to say.
Well, maybe there
from
will
the
be.
Show.
The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The James Conner Show. Do you remember that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Ben
Roethlisberger one is really the one that lit the world on fire with Ron and Pony.
The Ben Roethlisberger Show might have been the greatest athlete radio show in sports history, and the James Conner Show might have been the worst. You remember that thing?
It's kind of why I don't remember it as fondly as the Ben Roethlisberger show.
It was crazy. I love James Conner, mind you, but I just don't think he wanted to do a radio show. Yet there he was doing a radio show. It was unbelievable. It was like Belichick at a news conference doing a radio show. But the Landon Roberts show was wonderful. Ryan Clark did one with Pony way back when. You remember that? That also was one of the great athlete shows ever. And I think a lot of people had Ryan Clark pegged for big things in the media, and he's more than delivered on that, hasn't he? Do you like him?
I do. I like him a lot. My my friends actually grew up playing football with his son, Jordan, in youth football. And they said that he's always been gracious with time whenever they were around Ryan Clark when he was still playing for the Steelers. So I haven't really heard anything bad about him. And his analysis is really good.
It really is.
I mean, like his podcast.
Sometimes
a lot.
I don't agree with him, but who cares?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously not going to agree with everybody on everything, but his podcast, The Pivot's really good. Their interview with AB, fantastic. Just authentic and real.
Coming up next, and this has been a great run for Pitt Volleyball, and this is becoming an event in this town. I mentioned off the top of the show that it's reminding me a little bit of Pitt basketball from the early 2000s when suddenly, from out of nowhere, you had the Peterson Event Center absolutely rocking and people into it. This is an event town. We love winners. We notice when people are suddenly flocking to something, we want to do the same. We want to get in on it. And it's happening with Pitt Women's Volleyball. They've been to a bunch of Final Fours. Now they're number one in the country. I think this is probably their best team. They're 7-0. Women's volleyball is becoming a high-profile sport. People watch it. People enjoy it. You were at the Pete last night. How would you describe the atmosphere? 11,600, a volleyball record?
11,800.
And what was the atmosphere like?
It was a friendly atmosphere. But it was definitely one that was engaged. That's probably what I took the most from it. Like, there was nobody on their phone, nobody doing other stuff. Everybody was really engaged in the action. And, I mean, the Pitt fans have definitely bought in on volleyball in the city.
I just couldn't help but think of Ben Howland and the Pitt basketball team.
It's one of the most rapidly growing sports, I mean, in America, and clearly the city is embracing it.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. They're number one in the country, as I mentioned. 7-0 and haven't lost a set. 21-0. And one of their stars, Olivia Babcock, she was the freshman of the year last year in the country, according to the American Volleyball Coaches Association. She's really fun to watch. She's a great player. I've got a bunch of questions for her, too. She came all the way here from L.A. She was the only freshman on the USA women's volleyball team at the Pan American Cup. She might be an Olympian before long. This is going to be great. We're going to talk to Olivia next on the show. Fan Weather brought to you. But did I just do this 2 seconds ago?
No, not in the 50 minute.
I'm sorry.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.